right, Southbrook families, how are we doing today on this super chilly Wednesday? Hope you guys are doing well. Hopefully the voices of Steve Holt and Eric Fleming here in a minute will warm you up.
Let me just unwrap here for a little bit because I'm still bundled up.
Oh my goodness.
Gosh.
Right? And we are here for our third installment of For the Family, giving you all the news and content from this past weekend. And Epic and Southbrook kids. And yes, as we've mentioned, it is, what, negative 24 right now, the wind chill out there. Yeah, super.
No,
winter is awesome.
No.
Winter is great.
No.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what's good, though?
Not a fan either.
You go to Skyline. You get some Skyline chili, nice and warm chili. And on your way out, you get a popsicle.
That. We did do that. So, yeah, today we had lunch at Skyline.
That was crazy.
Classic, right? And Steve Holt was craving a popsicle, which I just thought was lunacy.
Hey,
just lunacy.
You do what you do.
You're bundled up. You had like five layers on, toboggan, everything, gloves, and here you are eating a popsicle.
It was a tasty treat.
That's just something ironic about that. Anyway, let's do this. Let's jump into what we got going on, Steve. Why don't you share what did we do in high school this past weekend? Is there any events you wanted to bring up or share as well?
Well, we talk about high school first, about what happened at Epic this Sunday.
Yeah.
Jillian, one of our volunteers, one of our wonderful long-term volunteers, spoke this weekend and basically talked about how growing your faith is connected to serving. Mm. There's a story that's well known in the New Testament in scriptures where Jesus is, he's just going along doing his thing. There's a throne of crowd, was it that right? Throne of crowd?
That's a
throne of people?
A throne of crowd?
It's just one of those things.
Maybe it is.
There's lots of people and they're following Jesus around, 5,000 of them apparently.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Jesus stops and goes, "Hey, let's feed them." Now I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a disciple, I'm like, how are we going to feed all these people? You know, as if they hadn't seen Jesus do miracles already.
Right.
But Jesus stops in the middle of everything, performs a miracle, of course. You know, all of this, if you know the story, the little boy brings his loaves and his fish, and Jesus multiplies them somehow and feeds these 5,000 people. So here's Jesus always setting an example, and he's in the middle of healing people and teaching people, and he stops to serve them. So what we tried to do, what Jillian did a wonderful job with that story is just kind of narrowing it down and helping the students understand that if they're going to grow their faith, you know, build your faith on a rock, number one. And then, you know, number two is, number three actually, is just serve. And what does that look like? And in the busy lives of teenagers, that's tough because they're going a million miles a minute. They got 1,000 things to do. All they need is one more thing to do in their life. Lots of excuses that you can make to serve. God could like say, "Hey, well, maybe you should do this." And you're like, "Yeah, let me just pray about doing that. I don't really want to do that," you know? So, and it's also not convenient sometimes. So how do you make that relevant to a high school student's life?
Generally at a time where you're not wired thinking selflessly, right?
Correct. None of us were at that age.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you encourage them to serve? And, you know, just little ways. I joke to you, but, you know, maybe cleaning up the sink after you brushed your teeth in the morning, you know?
Gosh, I would love that in my house.
Right? All that toothpaste gunk that you need to chisel to get off when it dries up.
Right.
Maybe scraping all the windows for your parents' car in this polar vortex, you know?
Right, during the polar vortex.
Right. Just little things that they could go out of their way as God says, "Hey, you maybe should do this," because I don't know about you, but God does that to me every so often. Like, "Maybe you should do this." I'm like, "Oh, I don't really want to do this."
Right.
But you try to get past that to where the Holy Spirit kind of works in you and you just kind of push forward because, you know, it's a growing kind of thing. It's a faith building thing. If you can just serve outside your comfort zone. So, not only do we encourage the students to do that this week, we want to encourage you as the parents. Maybe you can, there's a way that, and I know as a parent, you do a lot of serving of your students. Think of a creative way that you could serve your student this week, just in a creative way that would mean a lot to them. And, just to reinforce that, serving is just a huge faith builder, and it'll do a lot towards them growing their faith.
Right, and I think naturally, when we think of serving, we gravitate to the big things of like a BOG, which is a great thing to get involved with. It's a great way for families to get involved together, serving at their food pantries. Or other soup kitchens, or donations, or mission trips.
All good stuff.
All those things are huge, and they're great, and they're much needed. But really encouraging students to find ways in their everyday rhythms and routines to serve. Like if you said earlier, you know, their time is, it's demanded constantly from school to extracurriculars, homework at home, whatever it is. Maybe they work. But finding ways in those natural routines that they're already there, whatever they're already doing, how can they find ways to serve? And a lot of that is, man, a lot of that's at home, right?
Right. Well, at school. You just got done eating in the cafeteria. Clean up all your friends' trays and take it for them. Just simple things like that.
Yeah, I use the example with our students when we talked about that of, I don't know, maybe if you're on a team, if you're an athlete and you're on a team and in practice, and you know you've got a couple teammates in there that are just struggling to get, whether it's basketball, to get a set down, to get that offensive set down, or they struggle with defensive positioning or whatever it is, and they're constantly getting berated by the coach. Been there, I can speak to that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, hey, I'll stay after. I'm catching this a lot easier. Let me stay after and let's work on this. Or let's work on getting shots up together. You're struggling with shooting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's schoolwork. You do really well in school, and there's a couple of students that are struggling. Man, I'll help you with this. And the hallways, I told them, man, encouragement notes. If you anonymously slip those in the locker rooms, my gosh, can you imagine the difference that's made in our schools when people start anonymously encouraging one another?
Anything you can do and anything we can encourage them to do that gets past their me and I kind of world that they live in right now.
Because we're wired that way, right? We're wired that way. We know the studies of generations of narcissism, but I mean, let's be honest, that's kind of hardwired in us.
Right.
It shouldn't be like this indictment on this one generation. A lot of generations struggled with narcissism.
Right.
And so to get out of that of me-centric world, my problems, what I don't have, what I lack, get out and serve, and it brings perspective. And when you make that a part of your daily routine and habits, we wholeheartedly believe it changed the heart of a person,
sure,
and more into the heart of Jesus. So, yeah, absolutely, it grows the faith for sure. Your faith deepens when you put yourself into service. And so, yeah, I know that's, man, it's a hard thing because we don't think that way generally, and finding time for it. And that's why, man, finding ways to do that in your daily life.
Right.
And gosh, at home you could do that. Help, I told them, help mom or dad, help whoever with dishes or clothes, or maybe your siblings, that annoying younger brother or older brother or sister. Man, how about you be nice to them for once, right? Let's get along for once and help out at home. And I said that with teachers, man, our teachers and what they deal with in the classrooms from day to day. Man, if you're just a student that could help out.
Yeah, there's so many ways.
Help out there. So many ways that they can do that. What else you got, Steve? Anything else?
Well, it is, as I look at my watch, it is the 30th, which is the last day.
Is there 30 days in January? I can't remember. 30 or 31. 31. So we've got one.
I mean, 30 is a special day in January, right? You know, for my family. But shout out to my daughter, McKenna, whose birthday is today. But that's not why I said that. the reason I say that is today's the last day to get the lowest rate for Move Camp for your student. So as you're listening to this podcast. Pause right that. I was getting to talk today. I never can talk. But pause the button now because you know we'll still be here when we get back.
That throw to people that are following.
I'm telling you, it's that throw to peoples. And pause it, and then go and sign up online and get that low rate and get your student to Move, because it's a life changing experience, that week long camp.
Oh, it is, and you already got about 35 signed up right now. So that's right. It's going to be a good week in this summer. Oh, I love just thinking about summer right now.
Let's take that in a minute, summertime.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's going to be a great week. No doubt those spots will fill up. We've got a great eighth grade group moving up. So there's a good number of students there that are going to be joining the high school group. And so just a great week of just worship and community and hanging out and having fun and going to the beach for the day up there. And which is funny, the beach in Michigan, right? Like that doesn't, Does that sound like? It's amazing. I know they have a great time. The beach in Michigan. You're going to hit that up for a day there.
I thought it used to be crazy. And then for a vacation, we'd go up to Cedar Point and we'd stand at the breakers back behind there, and there's a beach, man-made beach. Yep. Oh, it was wonderful. It's like being in the ocean, except it wasn't salt water.
Right.
You know.
So yeah, it'll be a great week. So man, sign up for that. Get there now. I think actually you have. I think 2 days. They could do it tomorrow if they wanted. It's the last day is tomorrow.
Oh, that's 31st. Right. 31st.
That's what you threw me off. I thought that's what you were going to reference. But then I thought
it was the 30th. Maybe I'm off. Last day this month. Okay. Well, Eric's giving you an extra day, there just so you know that he's nice.
Today and tomorrow. So sign up. Don't wait, and you will not regret it. Yep. Look at you rubbing off on me.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's throwing off people.
It's the weather.
All right. Anything else you want to add, Steve?
I'm good, baby. Let's talk about middle school.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Segue here to middle school and what we were talking about this past weekend in Epic. Again, we're in the same similar series where his is called Mine. Our series is called Deep. And again, all these things that help grow our faith, take us deeper. And this past week, we talked on a tough topic of how God can use tough times to grow our faith, which is like almost oxymoronic when you think of that. God can use tough times for good, right? And so I think that's the struggle that happens when you talk about that. Wait, what? Like with students, what good? There's good happening in the midst of this tough time or this hardship? And so we talked about that for a little bit this past week. We looked at, Jesus as he's moving through the land, his ministry flourishing, people hearing the message of the kingdom. And in the midst of that, one of his dearest friends, Lazarus, gets sick. And if you've heard this story, you know this, that his sisters, Mary and Martha, are struggling. They're like, their brother's sick. Obviously, they're distraught about that, wanting to know where Jesus is. Jesus finally gets there. And again, he's a close friend to this family. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead. And right. So in this story, you hear so many of the things that we deal with in the midst of tough times. You see the sisters are upset. Where have you been? Like they almost say, where have you been?
You've been non-existent.
Your friend is sick and you weren't here. And even in this story that Jesus is brought to tears because of his friend, and it shows you how close he was to Lazarus and how much, man, it exemplifies how much he loves all of us. Mm-hmm. He brought the tears over this and the pain and the death there. And that was our focus. And as you know the story, Jesus goes in and sees Lazarus, comes out and says, Lazarus, come forth. And in that story, Lazarus is raised from the dead. He comes out. And obviously, in the midst of something awful, the death of Lazarus and the pain that was there, here comes this amazing story of good, this redemption, right, that comes from this. And in the midst of it, you see that Martha was, for like us, where I was telling the students that God never says you can't vocalize your doubts or your struggles in the midst of it, right? He never says that.
Right.
And I kind of see that in the midst with Martha, where, she's upset you weren't here, but she says, but I still trust that you can do what you do, that you're God.
Right.
I trust in that. And so it was after that, Jesus goes in. And so even though she was struggling, she trusts in who he is no matter what, even though it's a rough situation and there is pain there. And so we talked about that. And the ultimate good that came out of that story, of course, is the message of Jesus spread throughout the land at that time. Obviously, man, you hear something like that, that's going to catch your attention.
Right?
And so people were hearing the good news of Jesus because of this awful situation that took place of the death of Lazarus, which ultimately ended up in him being raised from the dead.
Sure.
And so we talked about that a little bit. I kind of went through three different situations with our students. I put these things on the screens. And so parents, if you're listening, I'll be honest, I don't know if the students will remember, right? If I'm thinking my own kid, can't remember. And I told them, and we do this a lot when we're there on Saturday nights, I say, if you got a smartphone, take a picture of the screens, or jot these notes down. And to be honest, taking a picture is like the easiest and quickest way to do that anymore. And so I put up one, it said, okay, we're gonna go through these three situations. If you have a friend currently, right now, going through hardships, going through struggles, here's how we respond. Because I think a lot of times we ask that, right? I know from my own experience of when I had a dear friend of mine lost his mother when we were in college, and this was like another mom to me.
Right.
And I'm so immature at the time. I'm so like in the midst, I don't know if it is immaturity, but I struggled. I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to say. This is painful to the point of how dumb this is that I didn't even go to the funeral. And so all because of, I didn't know, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And so I think a lot of us deal with this. And so I put this up on the screen. And one, I asked, how many of you have a friend that's going through some pretty hard stuff? And man, probably about 20% of our room raised their hands. I said, here's what you can do in the midst of this. And these things popped up on our screen. Number one, pray. Pray for your friend. Pray for the situation. Obviously, prayer is advantageous to these things.
Right.
The next thing I said is be present. Like, be present.
Right.
And in my illustration, I wasn't. Don't be paralyzed by the thought of what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Just be there.
Yeah.
Be
present. Is it going to be scary? Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Be there.
Because you know what to do.
And I said, and be willing to help. And what that doesn't mean is giving all this advice and words.
Right.
Maybe it's your friend's going through some hard stuff. Maybe you can help out and do whatever, share some of their workload. I don't know. Help out with school when they miss. Take notes for them. Maybe it's being at their house and just being there, bringing them, you know, things like that. It's definitely not meaning to talk the ear off. And right, if we get that sense in Job's situation, right? Mm-hmm. When Job goes through all his hardships, and one of the biggest examples out of that is how not to be a friend during that time, right? His three friends were in different seasons where one was an awful friend, another one was an awful friend, and a lot of times you hear them talking to him constantly. What have you done to God?
Yeah.
You've sinned against God.
That's why God meant this.
Right?
Maybe God meant that.
And they keep throwing everything at him, and they're completely off base with all of it. And so I told them, you don't need to talk. Just be there. Be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
And that's huge, right?
Well, and we forget sometimes in moments like this that God gave us a huge hint. He gave us 2 ears and one mouth.
Right.
And
right.
We always tend to use the mouth instead of the listening, you know?
Right. And
when he gave us a hint already.
Right. And when we don't know what to do with that mouth, we tend to not be present.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to say. I'm just not going to be there.
Right.
In fact, I had a student come up afterwards, was visibly emotional. I was going to love this kid. Came up to me. I was like, what's going on, man? What's wrong? And he goes, that one really hit home.
Hmm.
This year school's been really tough. And my friends have just they've just disappeared for the most part.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, well, I think a lot of us deal with this issue that it's hard to be there when we don't know what to do or know how to treat them, even though it's like, we wouldn't treat them any differently, you know? But that whole, the sense of questioning causes you to kind of hide out and disappear. And so we talked through that a little bit with our students. The next thing I threw up on the screens is, if you're personally going through hardships, what do you do? And if that's you, so this is obviously the first thing we start off with is pray again. Pray is going to be number one throughout all of these. Constantly be in prayer. You know, our students have gone through a lot of rough stuff. We know that.
Sure.
Experienced some rough hardships at a young age. And so prayer is key to communicate with your Heavenly Father. The other thing I said is be a person of study in the midst of hardships. Like, reopen that word up. Because in the midst of hardships, we tend to doubt God and doubt His goodness. And we start to believe lies about Him, that when you open up His word, the truth of God, you know, they remind us of who He truly is. Right?
Which just, C.S. Lewis's famous quote, that pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. And it's His way, it's His megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Yeah.
So there's something to learn within that. I know that sounds kind of morbid at first, that you go through pain like that, but somewhere, somehow through that, there's pain. It's kind of like a butterfly that's in the cocoon.
Right.
If you can help that butterfly, but it's not going to have great wings,
right?
It comes out of the cocoon,
yeah.
But it goes through that pain in order to get lifeblood to those wings.
Absolutely. And so, that's what we took, because in the midst of hardships, your true foundation's revealed, right?
Right.
What you truly are building your metaphorical home on, right?
Right.
And so study is big, and this is a good point to remind you the listeners that with each series we have reading plans that go along with this that are in the YouVersion Bible app. It's super simple. Mm-hmm. Download that app, search Deep Series, and it'll pop right up. And it's a reading plan for every day that goes along with whatever we're talking about. But it's a good way to start creating that discipline, that habit, because it's key to our faith. It's key to our growth. The next thing I said, we talked about prayer, we talked about study, we talked about support. And this is huge because This is so how we're wired, right? In the midst of hardships, we isolate. We tend to isolate, right? I don't want to be a downer to my friends, so I remove myself.
Right.
Or I'm struggling with my faith in the midst of this, so I shouldn't be at church, or I shouldn't be around my people or my tribe. And so we talked about that big time. Don't isolate. Isolate's deadly. And that's where the enemy wants to get you.
Right.
Because in the midst of that isolation, he whispers to you. Right?
Which goes back to last week when we talked about it. This faith has been meant to live out together in a community, not by yourself. And the minute you isolate yourself, like you said, the evil one wants to come in and say,
absolutely. And that's where he whispers those lies about who God is.
Yeah. Right?
So surround yourself with people that, you know, they'll be there for you. The other thing I said is to remember, which is big. Remember what God has done for you. Because in the midst of trying times and hardships, we don't. And what we tend to say is, this will never get any better. This is how it is. Either God doesn't love me, God doesn't, you know, care. And so it's important, and we talk about this a lot, to journal. We talk about this a ton. And we'll talk about this more in my next point, but to journal about the things that the blessings you have in your life that God has given you. And write those down, because when these hardships do come, when we know they inevitably will come, you can open up that journal and see, oh my gosh, okay. It's just, because we're right, we are beings who constantly forget.
Always.
Right? We forget, right? And it's just being reminded of the things that God has done for us constantly in the day-to-day. And the last thing I said to them is just hold fast. In the midst of the hardships, hold fast to hope and to God, right? We know that the hardships grow our faith,
right?
We know that. It's in Scripture. James talks about that in James 1:3. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And James is obviously talking about hardships there. And so the last thing we ended with our students is, if you have yet to go through any hardships, right? If you haven't experienced it yet, number one is prepare, because it's coming, right? Prepare, right? It's going to be coming.
Happen.
So prepare again in season, out of season, with prayer, constantly praying God to, again, to give you strength, because those times will come, to be prepared for that. A great time to journal, right? Journal about all the great things God is doing in your life, the things that you have, the blessings you have. The journal is key. It is key to write and remember those things. And then again, if you're not in the midst of hardships, look for those that are around you that are, that you can be a source of light to them. And so those are the three areas we really focused on this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And so parents, it'd be a great thing to talk about with your kiddos, with your students. Just about hardships, and maybe you have a story you could share about hardships that you've gone through. Man, your kids may have seen the hardships you've gone through and come out the other end. It's just a great way to say, man, when we talk to our kids, I know what you're going through. I've been there. And here's how I handled it. Here's how I got through. It's talking to your kids about middle school years, right?
Right.
Right? Getting on their level, not being like, hey, I had a hardship. Yeah, at work. Okay, that's cool. But man, talk to them in their world, because I say this all the time. We parents often deflect what they're going through and say, oh, you need perspective. You don't really know how bad it is. You're right. You don't really truly know, because you don't have perspective. But here's the thing, parents, that's the only world that they know is middle school years, right?
Right.
They don't have our perspective and making it out of those years.
Right.
So their world is literally crumbling when they're dealing with something that we feel is pretty small in the long scheme of things, right?
Right.
But it is their world. And so to get on their level and share a story of your days in that world, I think it will go a long way of just, oh, wow, opening their eyes to that.
And note to self, if they're in the middle of a hardship, probably not the best time to, you know, share these things with them, because their emotions put a roadblock to any words you have to say. That time, again, is the time just to sit there and be with them and listen to what they're going through. because they're not going to hear. Just like, you know, any funeral, you know, you probably, the pastor gets up there and says some nice words. But I promise you, when it's all over with, you probably don't remember much of what the pastor said. It's just about him or her being there during that time.
Absolutely. So that's, as far as our content, that's what we did this past weekend. Same with Steve. I remind you that CIY Mix, the middle school version of CIY Move, is still, you know, we've got two more days of that to register for the lowest cost. Again, for our week, we go to Cedarville right up the road and have a blast. We've been doing that for the past 3 years, and it's never failed. So we go up there and worship and have fun with community. We have a lot of games, a lot of fun times. They live like college students for the week. And then on our day back, when we come back on Thursday, we go to Young's Dairy Farm and go over there and eat and play and have some fun there before we get back to Southbrook. So get online, sbepic.org. You can sign up for Mix and Move on there. And yeah, we'll get that going. I think, is that it? We got anything else, Steve? You think of anything else?
Other than, hey, just to remind all the parents, there's no Epic this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Great point. Well, there is no Epic this weekend. Generally, this would be a Super Bowl weekend here at Southbrook, which they changed that up this year. They're not having the Super Bowl type service, but there's a lot of fun that will be going on this weekend. Yep. The atrium will be full of games, inflatables, things in the small theater. So we just said, hey, we're going to be off this week so you guys can have that space.
Parents, come introduce yourself. I'll be in the Eeyore costume. Can't miss me.
You're in an Eeyore costume?
Yeah, baby. We're doing Eeyore this year.
Amazing. No Pooh Bear this year, just Eeyore.
Well, you know, I figured we're going to be excited and joyful in a depressed kind of way.
You know. Yeah, and then I'll be manning games. So I think I'm doing the inflatable Simon Says game.
Oh, there you go.
So a lot of fun this weekend. Come check it out. Yep. Atrium will be full. There's a chili, tasting contest, right? Taste testing?
And donut competition between all kinds of stuff. What is it? Donut House and Bill's to find out who has the best.
All right. Now we're going to transition to our SB Kids segment. And with that, we're bringing in, again, the wonderful Carrie Shrewsbury. Again, if you don't know, Carrie leads our 3rd through 5th area. And to remind you all, we are combining K through 5th during the podcast time, because they talk about the exact same thing in both those areas. Now the program may be a little different, but the content and the gist of that program is the same for both areas. So each week this will be condensed to just K through 5th, and we'll have Carrie in here sometimes. We'll have Michelle Cornish in here, and we'll also, I'm really excited about this part, the volunteers that are in those rooms that are often teaching in those rooms will at times be in on the podcast to talk about what they shared each weekend. So I think that's really cool. A great way for you to get introduced to the volunteers that love your kiddos so much, that your kiddos love so much, and just a great way for you to become more familiar with them. All right. So, Miss Shrewsbury.
How you doing?
Doing all right. We're freezing, right? How are you doing?
Yeah, it's a little cold. The kids were off school today, so they were excited.
That's great. Yeah, right. Everybody. Yeah. I think everyone's off, right?
Yeah. They're hoping for another day tomorrow.
Seriously?
So we'll see. Yeah.
Man. Trying to think back when you were.
I'm from Maine, so we.
You don't take. You're from Maine. That's right. You didn't take days off.
No.
I was trying to think if I ever had a day off for wind, like coldness,
right?
For wind chills, and I can't think of any. I can't think of it. It makes sense, right? I get it. You know what? Kids stand at the bus stop and all that stuff. So I was just trying to think.
Yeah, we still had outside
day.
Recess in Maine. Yeah.
That's right. You guys had outside recess in the midst of it. Maine laughs at us right now. But anyway, okay, that's hilarious. All right. So, Carrie, what went on in our K through 5th rooms this past weekend?
Yeah, well, so again, all month we've been talking about self-control.
Right.
And this past weekend we broke down the verse from Proverbs 25:16, which states, if you find honey, eat just enough. If you eat too much of it, you will throw up.
Pretty straightforward there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Solomon.
Yeah, we discussed that even though it sounds kind of silly to be in the Bible, it's actually kind of important. We discussed how back then, you know, how important honey was to them. It was their sugary candy, their double stuffed Oreos. We talked about how this verse is not saying that honey is bad, but that too much of it might have negative consequences.
Mm-hmm.
We then talked about some present day examples like video games or sports. We came up with a list stating everything good about those particular examples, but then we also brainstormed and created a list that stated all the bad consequences of doing too much of those things.
Yeah.
We then transitioned into our key question, which was, how do you know when to stop? So we encouraged them to think about when they've reached the point of having too much of a good thing and to start paying attention to those times they don't want to stop. And we reminded them that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us with self-control. And again, we can always pray and ask God for help.
Right. That's great. That is great. I mean, it's so, I mean, obviously much needed, because our kids, like we, I think I said that a few weeks ago, that the things that they love so much, they don't really know how to control that, right? They don't have boundaries in place. You shared video games earlier, yikes, you know, video games. And, you know, I'm going to talk a lot about that down the road when we shift to a new series. An epic, just about a book I'm reading that is absolutely, like, just killing me reading about it, and just the statistics with gaming and social media. It's called Glow Kids by Nicholas Carderas, just about all the studies and just the scientific side of things, of the effects video games and all those things, overindulging, have on the brain and kind of impeding the development of the brain. And so, yeah, I've been talking to my son a lot about this lately, a lot. Yeah. Like, this has been a great series, because we have used that. Like, I remember I asked Brayden, who's fourth grade, hey, what's going on in your room? And which always, I'm sure he loves, because most parents wouldn't know, right? So he can come out and say, I don't know. Okay, let's go.
Right.
But then he's got me. He's like, well, I know you're talking about self-control, so let's talk. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but he does. He'll come out and say, we're talking about self-control. And so it's been a great conversations for us, just one, helping him to understand the way he's wired, how we're all wired, but even more so from a young age. You know, we stand on the other side where everything is fully developed, our brains are fully developed, even though we might know some people that don't seem that way. But for the most part, our entire brain is fully developed, from the thought processing to the emotional side, all of that stuff. And our young kids and as students, that's not the case, right? It's
correct.
All still developing, and generally the emotions reign supreme, and thought processes, that part struggles, because that's generally like half the size of the emotional compartment of the brain. And so talking to him about, one, talking through those things of overindulgent, why you have to have boundaries in place, because you'll just gorge on all these things, whatever it is, right? Just like that, too much honey, and for them, there's so much honey in our day, right? There's so many things today that illustrates this honey, from games to sports. Man, yeah, I needed that, because sports was definitely my God when I was playing. That was everything. That's where all my value and worth was, which was awful for me, because that was up and down. And so gaming as well. And so it's definitely much needed, for sure. What are some things that you've seen or come across with the parent cue that parents can kind of talk about or continue the conversation at home?
Yeah, if you guys haven't gotten the app, the Parent Cue app yet, I highly recommend it.
Absolutely. Should be available in Google, Apple, whatever, wherever you can download your apps.
Yeah, so this week they suggested asking your kid, what is something you just can't get enough of? And then ask, if you don't practice self-control in that area, what do you think would happen? Give your kid some examples of things you love and how you practice self-control in that area. And I know for us, like, our kids watched us, my husband used to spend a lot of money, and he would charge a lot of things.
That's great. So does he know this is coming this week?
No.
Right? Sorry, Dwayne. Dwayne's like, I hate this podcast.
So, if we didn't have enough money for something, we'd just charge it. It was not a big deal.
It's the majority of our country, for sure. I've been there for sure.
And then we read the Dave Ramsey book, and we thought, okay, we gotta get our stuff together here. So our kids witnessed and watched us put our money into different envelopes, our savings envelopes, our giving envelope, our spending envelope.
That's
and
great.
When the money was gone from those envelopes, that was it.
We're done.
We didn't spend anymore. And
We've done that as well.
Yeah. So we've been completely debt-free for a few years now, which feels amazing.
There's a good ending to that story, right?
Yeah.
Good job, Dwayne.
but just from watching, having the kids watch us do that, they now, anytime they have money. They have their own envelopes, and they give 10% into their giving envelope and 10% into their savings envelope. So I think they really learned from that example.
That goes a long way when they see that. Because we're having the same discussion, well, not with the financial side, but with the tech side in our home. Mm-hmm. We had a discussion last night, my wife and I, because, again, reading this book has changed so much of everything. I literally sent my wife a text yesterday, don't be surprised if I come home and remove every screen from the house for the most part. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, obviously not to that degree, but at least from the kids during their developmental stages, we talked a lot about. And so we talked last night. I said, you know, it's hard because for us, we live in that world, but our world is different, whether it's work and getting emails on the phone or text, and we never put those down. And I said, for us really to be able to be driving this home, we got to live this out as well. And so having healthy barriers in place where we're removing our phones, because it's so easy. We know that. It's so easy. In fact, it depends on also what you do. Like, I got a friend who's got an Etsy shop and makes, you know, that's what she does all day long. And so it's really hard to, she was saying the other day, to remove that device, because that device is literally her business. So like if questions are coming in and she's selling, it's like, she goes, and it's really hard. And I said, yeah, that's kind of the day and age we're in. Not only is it already hard enough to put down, but there's so many different variables at play. So being able to just remove the phone and the device, which is what we're trying to do now, which is, I'll be honest, that's my biggest struggle, is like removing this, because I think a lot of people would empathize with me. There's a sense of anxiety with my phone, like where to go, where's it at? Like, it's like so pathetic, right? Which is super pathetic when I lived in the world before that time, right? Of, you know, not having this thing. And so it is super sad, like that's the effect it has had on me. And so we're trying to get that, putting the right barriers in place when we're at home with our kids, so they can see us living that out, because that's a big deal.
It is.
And so, yeah, maybe that's something, you know, you said it earlier. What was the question you said that the kids were asked?
The key question is, what is it? How do you know when to stop?
How do you know when to stop? Which that answer is, we don't, right? So that's where we talk about, right? How do you know when to stop gaming? Right. And my son's like, never. I would just keep going. Right.
Well, I mean, we can encourage our kids to take ownership of their own behavior too, though, and set timers.
Like set a timer for their
half hour or whatever, instead of bringing the whole bag of chips to the couch, put them in a bowl. Which I need to practice myself. But,
what was the question you said? What is it you can't have too much of? Was that the question that was on there? I can't remember. What is it you can't get enough of? Was that the question?
How do you know when to stop?
No, there was a dollar. I can't remember which one it was. Daggone it. It's going to throw me off. Oh, dang it. Oh, because I was going to totally ask you, what is it like? So for you, what would it be? That would be...
What is something you just can't get enough
that's
of?
That's it. What is something you just can't get enough? Carrie Shrewsbury, what is something you just can't get enough of?
Oh my gosh! Right? Yeah, yeah. I can think of lots of food items.
Right, Bill's Donuts is Grater's ice cream.
Yeah,
right?
Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
Pizza. I mean, lots of
And and for us, you know, we're like right around the corner from Bill's and Grater's. That is like right in the midst of heavy temptation, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, much needed for all people involved, not only the kids, but us as adults as well. Self-control is really hard, especially in our hyper-stimulated culture that we live in right now. Mm-hmm. Like, man, trying to find ways to disconnect is vital. And, man, I would argue it's in this culture, it's super hard to find a place to get completely disconnected. Mm-hmm. Right? You really have to work at it, and it's super beneficial to do that. So, that's great. I want to tell you, parents, also, again, this weekend is a little different. You'll experience in the atrium a lot of fun going on this weekend. Generally, this is our Super Bowl weekend, but this year Southbrook's doing things a little differently. It won't be your typical Super Bowl service. Levi and the band won't be rocking out the whole time. We won't be doing the halftime show, but there will be kind of that environment going on in the atrium, though. We're going to have inflatables in there, some fun in there. There's chili taste testing contest. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. So it's going to be super fun this weekend. Back in K through second, one of our awesome volunteers who's in there pretty much, if not every weekend, about every other weekend, right? Russell, Russell is awesome. He's created this. He's got a puppet. He's created
a video, digital
videos that are kids love with Rowdy. Is that his name?
Yes.
Right. Rowdy
yes.
is the,
Rowdy
dog,
the dog.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just really cool. We have so many gifted, talented volunteers here at Southbrook, and it's just really cool to see them using their gifts and abilities and their talents in Southbrook Kids. And no doubt your kids know, if your kids have been to K through second, they know who Rowdy is. And so this weekend's a Rowdy weekend. He's called it the Super Bone weekend. So So this weekend it'll be fun. Rowdy will make an appearance. There'll be some puppet show going on. So K through second, you don't want to miss that. Get your kids there. And man, we just have some awesome volunteers. I think next week you're going to hear from Katie Parks, who's a key volunteer in three through
fifth. Yeah, she's awesome.
We just have so many awesome people that make this happen. It's definitely not us, right? It's these volunteers. And so
definitely.
Russell's one of many in K through second that are in there teaching on a weekly or every other week basis. So hopefully we'll see you this weekend. Right?
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to share, Carrie?
I just want to remind everybody, some people don't know, Southbrook Kids has their own Instagram and Facebook page.
Right.
So sometimes we'll post things on there if we're having anything special on the weekends or reminders. So if you, it's just Southbrook Kids, all lowercase, all one word.
And that's for both of them, right?
Right.
So Instagram, that's at Southbrook Kids, lowercase. And then, the Facebook page, Southbrook Kids. Also, a good time to remind you guys that For the Family podcast has a Facebook page too. So go over there, like it, follow it, and you'll get all the updates when a new podcast drops. Also, that's going to be super key for you, because next month we are going to be moving into a series for middle school and high school. It's called No Filter, which will be like social media, but yet it's going to cover like tech, period. Just for 3 weeks, we're going to talk about tech. And so during that series, there'll be a lot of resources we'll recommend for you guys if you want to check out and read articles to look at, whatever that may be. We'll recommend those, but we'll also put those on the Facebook page, the For the Family podcast page. We'll link to that stuff so you know where to get it and things like that. So make sure you head over there and like that page. And again, thank you for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great week. Stay warm. Hopefully we'll see you this weekend at Southbrook, because it's going to be really fun. Don't miss out. Thank you.